Wednesday evening, I saw a sweatshirt being worn by a lady that had three words on it. Those three words were, love like Jesus. And I thought, that's really cool. That's a good message. So the next day, I told Angie that I had seen that message on that sweatshirt. She said, yeah, I saw that too. I said, good, where was it? She said, I can't remember. Well, me either. That happens, doesn't it? But what does it mean to love like Jesus loves? Does it mean to be nice, to be kind, to be compassionate, to do nice things for people? Certainly it means to be all of those things. But when you get right down to it, loving like Jesus loved is a principle that can change our lives, can change them completely. But we'd ask ourselves another question. Is it optional? Or is it something that's expected? Or is it something that Jesus requires? I'm going to let him answer. John 13:35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you have love one to another. John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, and that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends, for all things I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. So it would seem that Jesus would expect us to love like he did. But as we think about that a little bit deeper, we think about what love is. Love is a powerful motivator. The wrong kind of love can motivate us to do wrong things and toward wrong things, but the right kind of love leads us to do righteous things and does things that blesses ourselves and blesses others. I would submit to us tonight that one cannot fully know and understand how to love others until we first understand how Christ loved us. The better we know him, the closer we walk with him, obviously the more loving we will be, and we will love like Jesus loved. Love, it's more than a nicety. It is a necessity. John said, 1 John 4:8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. The love that Jesus modeled was right, it was pure, it was holy. And learning to love like Jesus loved will make us more godlike in that it brings us closer to him. It makes us to be more like him in everything that we do. I want to just suggest to you just for a few minutes both the right kind and the wrong kind of love and what they can do for us. What the wrong kind of love can do for us in a negative way, but what the right kind of love, loving like Jesus did, can do for us in the right kind of way. The love of possessions, the Bible tells us, is the wrong kind of love. This is not describing the joy that we have over the material things that make our lives so much better. Somebody gets a new car, they're elated, they're overjoyed. That's a wonderful thing. And we should be happy for them. Somebody gets a new house, that's a wonderful thing. These are not things that are wrong in and of themselves. But the love of possessions is the wrong kind of love. Well, how do you square that with what you just said, you may be saying? It is the lust for more and more things, the inordinate desire to take what we want regardless of the tactics that are required to get them. We see something that someone else has, we become covetous, and we do what we can to try and take it away. The Bible says that covetousness is idolatry, Colossians 3:5. And so when we seek to take that which is others, or we seek to have everything, to have all of the toys that are on the playground, we become covetous. Those things become idolatry to us. That kind of love is not what the Bible condones or praises. In Luke 12:15, we remember Jesus said, take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:9, that they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. There's loving in a bad way. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. today's world still needs those warnings to enjoy the blessings that we have. God has placed things here and given us abilities and opportunities to enjoy a lot of different things. We'll do that. Enjoy those things. But when they take precedence over our love for God, then that love becomes the wrong kind of love. And it's not the way that Jesus loved. Jesus did not love material things. Well, number two, the love of praise is the wrong kind of love. The Bible warns that those who love the praise of men will never love God as they should. One example, and probably the best, is John 12, verses 42 and 43. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, many believed on him, but of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Paul wrote in Galatians 1 and verse 10, asking this question, for do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Paul said, I've got to choose who I love the most. Do I love God the most, or do I love the praise of men? In Luke 6:26, Jesus said something that's really interesting. He said, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. Now, don't you want people to like you? Wouldn't it be nice if people did speak well of you? Listen to what he said. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. The context here is to the teacher or to the preacher. Okay? Do you like for people to give you a pat on the back from time to time? Do you like for people to say nice things? Well, of course you do. But when everybody is patting you on the back, when everybody's saying good things, then apparently what you're saying does not include the warnings that need to be given and that would need to be hidden. Jesus said that's what they did, the fathers did with the false prophets. They praised them and they spoke good words to them, spoke smooth words to them, made them feel good. It's loving the praise of men. Are we going to sell out? Are we going to just say what anybody wants to hear just so that they'll feel good and have a warm, fuzzy feeling and tell us something nice? Again, we all like to hear nice things. But what Jesus said here is so packed. It is so packed full of meaning. Luke 6 and verse 26. Think about it sometime as you read it. But let's move on. The third thing is that the love of pleasure is the wrong kind of love. God has created a world in which He designed many things to give us happiness and pleasure in their place. And we certainly enjoy those things. But the exciting things of life exist to make us appreciate God, not replace Him. The temptation to love pleasure and entertainment above all else, even the one who made it possible. My father-in-law were driving up Highway 305 in Mississippi, headed toward the Olive Branch Airport one day. We were going to go flying. And this truck passed us with this big boat on it. And I asked my father-in-law, I said, I wonder how people can afford to buy things like that. And he said, well, for one thing, a lot of people that are not Christians, they don't give to the Lord's work and they don't give to the church. And so they have a lot of extra money that they can spend on the pleasures of the world and do things that they like. It could be that some of them just have really good jobs. It could be either one. But thinking about what he said, thinking about people that I knew over there and people maybe that you know, you may recognize that there is a lot of truth to that. But the love of pleasure, is there anything wrong with enjoying the things that God has given us? Well, no, not if we keep them in their place. Some of the things that God has given to bring us joy and to bring us happiness can be abused. And they will bring us sadness and harm. They can bring us, ultimately, destruction. Hebrews 11 and verse 24 tells us about somebody that made a choice. I mentioned this at the nursing home this afternoon. It's Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Brother Ron said one time, he said, well, you know, if sin wasn't fun, people wouldn't be doing it. Well, that's right, isn't it? And that's what it says. Moses could have had it made, being next in line to the Pharaoh. So he could have enjoyed all the pleasures of the world, the fleshly pleasures. But he chose the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, and fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Jesus said, Luke 8 and verse 12, they are on the rock, are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which believe for a while, and in the time of temptation fall away. Once again, God has created a lot of things in this world for our pleasure, for our enjoyment. And kept in the right place, it's a great blessing. And we need to be grateful for it. But it's when we abuse those things. And it's when we come to covet them and to desire to possess them. They come to possess us eventually. Number four, the love of preeminence is the wrong kind of love. Have you ever heard of the spirit of Diotrephes? Well, that comes from 3 John 9. And the spirit of Diotrephes is still alive and well. This is what John said. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Diotrephes, a person who would not receive a letter from an apostle, a person who would not receive correction, a person who threw people out of the church that didn't do what he wanted them to do. I know of a church where a preacher moved in, and the congregation was over 100, and now at last report there are 15, or around 15. And the reason is, he said, we'll do it my way or not at all. You will do what I tell you to do, or you can leave and go somewhere else. Now, this congregation is nowhere around here, just so you know. But his attitude was, I'm not going to listen to what my brethren tell me. I'm not going to listen to what other preachers tell me and the correction that they try to give me. And he needed correction. He still does need quite a bit of correction. He's not going to listen to it. If you don't like it, you can leave. He has destroyed a congregation of the Lord's church that had been there for almost 100 years. Spirit of Diotrephes. Loving to have the preeminence. That's not the kind of love that Jesus had. That's not the way he loved. That's not the way that we're supposed to love. Loving the spotlight is not loving like Jesus loved. The love of preeminence destroys the spirit of servanthood. But while the wrong kind of love destroys, the right kind of love blesses. And that's point number two. The right kind of love. There's only two, by the way, just so you know. Number one, love for God is the right kind of love. Matthew 22:37, Jesus, and we're asking, how did Jesus love? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Well, after all, God is our creator, our sustainer, our ruler, and our love for him must be sincere. It must be supreme. We must love him more than anything else. Neither person nor thing is to be loved like we love God. That's the way Jesus loved him. Jesus would go away into a mountain and spend a night in prayer with the Father. Jesus loved the Father, and he constantly talked about that. And he demonstrated it in the way that he lived. So love for God is the right kind of love, and loving God more than anything else is loving like Jesus loved. Love for our enemies is the right kind of love. Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the just, on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. What did Jesus say? Love your enemies. Well, how could he get away with saying something like that? Well, Jesus, that's easier for you to say, but it's hard to love your enemies. You think he didn't know that? He was the one who from the cross said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Luke 23 and verse 34. Jesus taught us to love our enemies. Jesus loved his enemies. That's loving like Jesus loved. Even though someone may have treated us badly. Our Lord taught us that we're to love them, which means that we're to have pity on them for their evil heart, and that we're to have a sincere desire that they will repent. When we pray for our enemies, we need to pray that their hearts would be softened. We need to pray for their repentance so that their relationship, our relationship, could be restored, and so that their soul can be saved when they turn back to the Lord. Matthew 5 and verse 44 again. I say unto you, love your enemies. Number three, love for our neighbors is the right kind of love. Matthew 22, verse 39, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Some came to Jesus on one occasion challenging him and a lawyer, and he said, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus told him that story of the Good Samaritan. And at the end of it, he said, who was his neighbor? And the lawyer had to admit it was the man who grabbed the wounded traveler on the side of the road and poured oil and wine into his wounds and took him to the hotel and paid for his bill for him to stay there and took care of him. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, we find this repeated over and over again and illustrated in how that when we feed the hungry and we clothe those that need clothing, and when we do the right kinds of things to people, even if they are our brethren, we are loving our neighbor as ourselves. That's the kind of love that Jesus had. Love for those we see is rooted in the love that we have for him who is not seen. John said in 1 John 4 and verse 20, if a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Did you notice what he said? This is the commandment that we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. If we're going to love like Jesus loved, we're going to have to love our brother as ourselves. Our love for our neighbors, it needs to be true and sincere. Romans 13 and verse 10 in the New King James Version reads this way. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Well, that's the way that Jesus loved. He loved his neighbors, all of his neighbors, the whole world, as he died there on that cross. Love for family is the right kind of love. What are husbands taught in the way that they are to love their wives? Ephesians 5 and verse 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. How did Jesus love? By giving everything for his spiritual bride, the church. How are husbands to love? If husbands are going to love like Jesus loved, they're going to have that kind of love for their wives. Be willing to do whatever is necessary to provide for them and to protect them. The Bible also says that older women are to teach the younger women to love their family. You would think that this would be natural, that it would be only natural that a woman would love her husband, depending on who the husband is, but that she would love her husband, that she would love her children and love her family. But listen to what the Bible says in Titus 2, verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they may be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Isn't that just natural? That a mother would love her children? And would love her husband, and hopefully her husband was treating her in such a way that she could love him to the highest degree. But isn't it amazing that the Bible tells us that the older women are to teach the younger women to do these things, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Paul said in Colossians 3 and verse 14 that love is the bond of perfection in every home. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So if I'm going to love like Jesus loved, I'm going to realize that that kind of love is never wrong. That first list we looked at is is wrong. It's not good. It's not healthy. But love is never wrong when we love God first and foremost above all. When we love our enemies, when we love our neighbors, when we love our family, when we love our brethren and the church for which Christ died. And as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13, as Kurt prayed this morning, now abide faith, hope, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Life on earth is always better when we learn to love like Jesus. Love like Jesus looks good on a sweatshirt. Okay? But that is a deep, complex subject. We've looked at some of the things that it means to love Him. The first and foremost was love, to love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind, with our emotions, with every fiber of our being, with our will, and with our intellect. Do we have that kind of love for God tonight? Are we a New Testament Christian? If not, and we know what's necessary to become a Christian, can we honestly say deep down inside, I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind? If you love Him but you've never been baptized into Christ, confessing your faith, being determined to repent of sins and to live a faithful Christian life, why not do that tonight? If as a child of God you haven't been faithful, why not come back and love like Jesus loved? If you're subject, would you come as we stand and as we sing?